You don't get to leave till Sister What's-Her-Name speaks in tongues, and old Fred over here, he'll give an interpretation. I've been there. But it's no different than the other place that tells you that we're going to go ahead and lie about Scripture and tell you that only three things remain in their faith, love, and hope, that there'll be no manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on May 28, 2025, and is titled Shavuot. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
There'll be nobody speaking in tongues. There'll be nobody raising the dead. There'll be nobody giving interpretation. There'll be nobody prophesying. There'll be nobody doing any of these things. We're just going to call you to the altar every week and get you saved again, because this life's all about dying. This life, they just sang it. I'm not here to attend a grave. I'm here for more. I want the fullness of God, and that came at Shavuot. Shavuot. I'm going to have to get that little thing in my ear so he keeps repeating it. Can't even remember how to say it three times in a row. Pentecost has nothing to do with tambourines and singing and tongues. Pentecost means 50. 7 weeks and one Passover, one Sabbath, 7 weeks and one Sabbath from the Passover came Pentecost. And on that day, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit came to make the fullness of his dwelling among us. The Bible says that Jesus ascended to fill the universe. That's why it is impossible. It is impossible anymore for me to say, "Come, Holy Spirit." Where did he go? The Bible says God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But if God, to use a big guy with a beard and a lawn chair on a cloud someplace, then you need to meet him. Because the God everybody told you about since you were a little kid, that's not him. That's not him. Him. You can believe in whatever you want to believe, but you cannot know a fictitious entity. You cannot know that God, because that God doesn't exist. You have to know the one that is. And on a day when Murph and them sing about being thankful, we'll go nuts and call it Resurrection Sunday. And we're so thankful. I'm thankful today for Shavuot, because God, after his son ascended to maintain his place of authority, God poured himself out so we could dwell 24/7 geographically, anywhere, anytime, any place, in his holy presence. He does not dwell in buildings built by human hands. He dwells in the fullness of the universe. And to have our scales come off our eyes and know and believe that is key to everything. It's key to a full, fruitful life. It's key to the fullness. And there's three components in this feast that I want to talk about right quick tonight. If you got your Bibles, I hope you do, look over to Leviticus 23. How many of y'all spent much time in Leviticus before you started hanging out here? Not much, huh? It's kind of boring, really, if you don't kind of get it. It's not near as fun as Proverbs. Leviticus 23 talks about the feasts. Well, you know, and you'll hear, we won't hear it out of you guys. You guys are way too smart for this, but, you know, you'll hear, well, that's just that Old Testament stuff. No, it's not Old Testament stuff. Do you know Jesus is older than Abraham? Jesus is Old Testament, for crying out loud. So over in, he talks about the feasts. And there's three feasts that Jesus commanded his disciples to attend in the New Testament. They went to Passover. They were in Jerusalem for Shavuot. They also went and observed Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. When you find the intricacies about Jesus and the kingdom of God in the Feast of Booths, you come to a greater understanding. This is not about going through different things and getting two ephahs of this and two ephahs of that and trying to manipulate God by going through the religious things again, because we'll see tonight that through Pentecost, the fulfillment came. Do you know you do not have another religious duty? Do you know that? Do you know to simply believe? But to believe means you're going to try to understand. And when you understand, you begin to obey. And that is the crux of Christianity. Coming to an understanding of God, our relationship with him, and then obeying what he says. He put an end to sacrifice and burnt offering. He put an end to the religious details. Well, if that's so, then why are we fooling with these feasts? Because these feasts possess the very foundation and basis of understanding of who God is and the kingdom of God and what's been given to us. Do you know why we're not thankful as a church? Because we really don't know how what's been given us. We've been told certain things. We've been expected to believe certain things. But do you know? It's just like last week. When I asked, what has God given you? Just like Peter and John standing there with the crippled beggar. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I now give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. You can't be thankful till you know what you have. I don't think we're ungrateful in America today. I just think we're ignorant. I don't think we know everything we've been given. And so in the Feast of Weeks, here in verse 15, and you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer new grain offering to the Lord. So look here. Here's what happens in Christianity. Here's how we do in modern-day Christianity. You can't hit Passover because everything we do is based on Sunday, the first day of the week. It's a theology that's coming down. It came down the pike way back since 4th century Constantinianism all the way up through the Roman Catholic Church, and now here we are. So everything's based on Sunday. So we're going to have Resurrection Sunday. And then 7 weeks after that, we're going to make mention of Pentecost. What? That's not what it said. It didn't say count seven Sundays. It said count seven Sabbaths. That's seven Saturdays. So we're already a jacked up mess. I mean, no way anybody's going to correct this for everybody, but you can correct it for yourself. And so he says you count that from the Sabbath, and then you make the new grain offering. You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves and two tenths of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. That's key. Passover was without leaven. Feast of Weeks is the only time with the leaven. Just hold on to that for a second. Then you're going to offer the seven lambs, and then without blemish, and it goes through all these different things about but here's what I want you to see. The priest will make a wave offering, and the Lord's already done that. Let me tell you about the priest and the wave offering. Here's what you need to glean from that. Jesus is our high priest, and he became the wave offering. They put him on a stick for the whole world to see. And he was the first fruits of all to come later. He was the offering of God himself to reconcile his creation back to himself. And he says in verse 22, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. It also tells us, so right up here in verse 21, it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Now, we've heard that very same thing about Passover. This shall be a holy thing in your dwellings. I'm not in charge of how you observe Passover, Pentecost. Y'all are in charge of that. In your dwellings, what do you believe? What have you portrayed? What have you passed on? This is how we ended up in the ditch. Because people decided not to learn for themselves. We just take information as it comes. We do what everybody else is doing. And then over time, we become a generational disaster and we see very little results. Do you know why the youth of America are not in church? You know, there's a huge campaign out there that your kids need to be back in church. Your kids need to be back in church. Everybody needs to be in church. Do you know why they're not in church? They went. The same thing happened at 9/11 in 2001. I call it the Tom Baudet moment in time. We blew up the building. The radical Muslims blew up the buildings and big disaster all across the United States, and everybody's got their flag stuck in the side of their pickup, and we're all patriots again, and we're all praying again, and we're all doing again, and everybody runs to the church, and 6 weeks later, everybody quits. It was the Tom Baudet moment. The lights were on, and nobody was home. There wasn't anything there. We continue to do it because we didn't know what else to do. What else are you supposed to do as a Christian? Then we get to 20 years later, we get to enjoy COVID. You people can't go to church no more. You can't get in the pile no more. You can't blah, 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 no more. I'll tell you one thing you can't do. You can't make me unmemorize the Bible. You can't make me quit praying at home. You can't make me quit reading my Bible at home. You can't. You can't. In fact, they couldn't even make us quit getting in the pile here. We called bull on everything. And guess what, people? Winner, winner, chicken dinner. We were right. We were the minority, but we were right. Do you know the few will be right every time? I want you, oh, thank you, Jesus. The few will be right every time. Do not follow the masses. Because the few will get it right every time. Those who have ears to hear. That's who the church is. And they'll get it right every time. So, he said, this is to be observed in your home. In your dwelling. Do you know what needs to be observed more than this? The essence of Pentecost. Does your family know that God dwells with you? Do they really know it? They feel his presence. They know you hear his voice. Do you know you stand on holy ground at your house? Do you know your dwelling place and your kitchen table should be the most sacred place in your life? And we made it all about man-made organizations and altars and buildings, and it should have been about your home the whole time. The whole time. You see, at home, then we're no longer a generational disaster. And I know I'll catch a little heat over this every now and then, but it's like youth groups, for crying out loud. Who ties puppies to puppies and expects to get a bird dog? I mean, really. If you're going to have a youth group, don't go down there and get the Walmart greeter. Get a guy that's 70 that knows there's 2 4-30s. Who could care less about jumping on rubber balls and doesn't like pizza. He might actually get something out of them kids. But tying puppies to puppies is nothing more than entertainment that lets them run around and lick on the doorknobs and pee on everything in sight. That's it. There's only one of those in the Bible. It's called a family. You see, Jesus came as a son because the Father desired a family. And here we are. I'm going to back up a little bit. 7 weeks. The number 7 is a very significant thing. The number 7 means completion. The number 7 means fulfillment. The number 7 is used over 700 times in the Scriptures. It's a significant number. 7 weeks is not an insignificant matter. The 7 lambs, not insignificant. The 7 spirits of God written about in Isaiah 11, those are not insignificant things. 7, the number of completion. I think as Christians in America today, we've been told we're just old sinners saved by grace, and we live the rest of our lives so incomplete. Or our religion, that we're not able to continue to check all the boxes and do all the right stuff, leaves us guilty, sometimes even condemned, but not fulfilled and not filled. We have so much bad theology and different things out there that leaves us so undone and half done. And so in our incompleteness, we lose confidence. Confidence is not arrogance. Confidence is faith. Do you really believe what you believe? I don't know what's going on. But right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we know you're ever present. And we just pray over whatever's happening right now in Jesus' name, that your angels be around about everybody involved. That God, you would reveal yourself in the midst of the mess. Where there's sirens, there's a mess. And so we believe right now, God, this would be an opportunity for you to reveal yourself in your mighty power, your grace, your love, and your mercy. As we stand here today, we pray and give you glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what we do. We call on a God who is in the midst of the mess because we're complete. What has God not given you? What are you still waiting on? The Bible says that you, along with Jesus, have been seated at the highest place of authority. The Bible says that you have now been given everything necessary for life and godliness. So what's missing? You see, the number 7 has been fulfilled. The kingdom has come. The outpouring happened. The Spirit is here. We're not waiting on Him to show up. We just need to realize where we're at. where he is too. That's why it's so important to set your minds on the Bible, because the mind of Christianity, as we've been told the last 100 years, does not depict that. And as a man thinketh, so he shall be. So if you're pretty sure that God's up here and you're down here and there's a big gap between you and him, you're going to have a hard time getting there. You're going to have to scream your prayers. You can't whisper them. You're going to have to work all the formulas of God to try to get him to show up. But when you understand the essence of Shavuot, you understand that the Spirit of God has been poured out in 7 weeks, has been fulfilled, this fulfillment of time, this fulfillment in time. How do you know that? Because the flour has the leaven in it. Watch this. I love this part right here. In the Bible, there's 3 different kinds of leaven depicted in the New Testament. Let's look at Matthew 16 first. Verse 5. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread, and Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, "Is it because we have taken no bread?" But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Do you not yet understand nor remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets you took up, or the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many large baskets you took? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" They understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine. Beware of the doctrine. A little yeast spoils a whole batch. The leaven of doctrine. If we're more full of that than we are the kingdom of God, then we end up playing church and trying to manipulate God through our acts of religion. We remain mundane, futile, and fruitless. Do you know what happened in 1740 on this land? When the Quakers and the different ones in the colonies had all their churches, they realized one day that their gatherings were mundane, futile, and fruitless. You know how they realized it? The immorality of the next generation. Since 1740, they didn't have TV, Facebook, or nothing. They couldn't even go drag Maine. Yet they realized the immorality of the next generation. They began to pray. And preachers came to our land who preached a true gospel under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They preached the kingdom of God, the Samuel Davies and the Samuel Edwards and the George Whitfields and the John Wesleys. If John Wesley came back today, you think Jesus caused a ruckus when he turned the tables over? I'm talking about a man would tear some stuff up now. They preached a true gospel, and they stood on wooden boxes without microphones. They didn't have air conditioning and fluffy chairs. And men were getting saved by the thousands. And revival, the great awakening on American soil happened right here in 1740. And out of that revival that swept a nation, there came a free nation called the United States of America, where the George Washingtons and the Thomas Jeffersons and the Samuel Adams and the men that were cut out of that cloth, the men who looked at things through the lens of the Bible under the direction of the Holy Ghost. George Washington walked in the power of God and knew the presence of God. He understood Shavuot. He understood Pentecost. He understood the Spirit of God. He knew the protective hand of God. There's volumes written about George Washington walking with God, coming out of a revival that happened on this land because your services were mundane, fruitless, and futile. And here we are. It's good preaching right there. Hadn't done that in a while. Hadn't had no good preaching around here in a while. Do you know what caused it to be that way? The leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of doctrine. There's one doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus. The doctrine of Jesus is not teaching men how to act like Christians. The doctrine of Jesus is the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He's your supplier. He's your power within. He's your director where the lamp, the word is a lamp unto your feet, not the doctrines of the Pharisees.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.